Welcome to another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. It's the podcast that goes behind the scenes of the fantasy football industry through interviews with some of the best in the business. For this episode, I got to talk with Rich Dotson, founder of DynastyNerds.com and host of the Dynasty Nerds podcast. We talked about his roots in sports inherited from his grandpa, skateboarding and listening to punk rock as a teen, buying magazines back in the day to do fantasy football research, downloading music and making mixed CDs, how he started playing Dynasty, what the Nerd Herd is all about, running a successful fantasy football site, and a ton more. Please give Rich a follow on Twitter at DynastyRich. You can follow me, Casey Kasem, at TheCaseyKasem, and the podcast at GetReal_pod. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. Also, you can find my content with Roto Baller, Fantasy Six Pack, and South Harmon Fantasy Football. And don't forget to check out SundayDreamersClub.com for some awesome fantasy football-inspired t-shirts. And now, it's time to get real with Rich Dotson on Get Real with Casey Kasem. All right. There's so many things. There's so many new things up here because I just started working from home. So I'm like trying to like get my mind from the office to like being here. Where is everything? How do I do this? I've never had a MacBook before, so everything's in different spots. And
you have an iPhone?
No.
Oh, well, that's different then.
Yeah, it's a lot different. So I'm over here just like, okay, I think I'm doing this right. And then it disappears and I'm like, I don't know where it went. So anyway, all right, now we can finally officially get started. I'm excited to have Rich Dotson here with me today on Get Real with Casey Kasem. And, you know, after all the technical difficulties and everything, we're going to actually get into a conversation now. So thanks for joining me, Rich. It's so nice of you to take the time out of your day to come be on the show.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Talk whatever you guys want to talk about, you know, dynasty, fantasy, the business, life. Like it's, I love conversation, definitely good conversation. So it's an absolute pleasure to be here to talk to you.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's kind of get a little background on you first. Just thinking back to when you were growing up, what was your, or what, how did sports play a role in your life when you were growing up?
Yeah, my grandfather was the number one thing that was like the sports thing for my life. He was really into sports. He lived in Pennsylvania. He was really into the Pirates. He was really into the Steelers. I was born in 1979, and that was the year my mom was pregnant, like when she was like 19, and my grandfather is pretty PO'd about that. And when I was born, though, I was born in October of 1979, and that's the year the Pirates and the Steelers won the World Series and the Super Bowl. So like he thought like I was a really good luck charm, and I became his favorite grandkid from that moment on. And like, he just really like other grandkids had to go play outside, but I was allowed to come in and watch the Pirates. I was allowed to come in and, you know, like talk about the Steelers with him. So that was all my sports came from that, because my mom was a single mom of three kids and she didn't have time for anything besides like working and raising those kids. So like, I didn't play sports as a kid. I wasn't involved there. We didn't have enough money for me to play sports. So all that came from my grandfather, and it just really, and that connection and like that fondness of him, you know, like when you're little, like you get attention from adults or especially your grandfather, who liked to buy you treats and whatnot, like that extra special attention really made me love football and baseball more. And that's carried over now. I'm 44, and that's carried over now to this day. Like baseball and football are still my favorite sports to this day.
And growing up, did you have a favorite player or any particular team that you were really fond of?
Like most little kids, like, well, when I was real little, which is crazy because I'm a diehard Browns fan now, like, again, I was kind of like brainwashed to be a Steelers fan and a baseball fan, like Pirates fan. So like, I was a really big Andy Van Slyke, Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla fan back in the day. The Steelers really sucked back then, and I kind of liked the Browns and the Steelers, you know, at that time, because my parents liked the Browns. So when you're little, you know, you it's easy to gravitate towards the stars. So like, you know, Dan Marino was pretty sweet back in the day. Warren Moon was pretty sweet back in the day. Barry Sanders to this day is one of my all-time favorite football players. To be able to watch those guys go out there and do things that were unimaginable in my eyes to grown men and professional athletes. So nobody really sticks out from like the Steelers. Like I really like Greg Lloyd because he was like into Taekwondo. And I thought that was really cool. They like took karate and stuff, and he was a really good linebacker. So I like Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green a lot on the Steelers. I like Bernie Kosar on the Browns and Eric Metcalf and Webster Slaughter and those guys. In baseball, I said like that power three in Pittsburgh at a time when they were really good. Those were kind of like my guys when I was real little. And it kind of just kind of, as I grew up, you know, the Browns weren't really good, but there'd be guys that come around that I liked, and there'd be certain players that were really good that would stand out and kind of follow along those ways. But I think Barry Sanders was the number one guy that I was like always just blown away by when I watched him play football. And, you know, that Lions always playing on Thanksgiving, like he was always there too. Like there's an opportunity to actually watch his back in the 80s. You know, it's not like today we had all these different options to watch television, definitely on Sundays. So there's always extra time. Lived in Northeast Ohio to watch a little bit of the Lions. So I really did like Barry Sanders.
And when you found fantasy football, how did that happen? How did you get into that whole space?
So I found out about fantasy. I had this really weird era. So like when I became a freshman in high school in 94, that's when the Browns left Cleveland, and they were gone from 94 to 98. So like football is kind of like a weird spot, but like it was filled up because the Indians at that time who had been bad literally since the 50s, all of a sudden became this powerhouse, and it kind of filled that void for me. And it helped me kind of grow my passion for baseball at that time. So throughout high school, like I was really into just, like I said, I didn't play sports. So I partied, I skateboarded, I was into punk rock music, going to live shows, you know, all that jazz, and still watched football and cared about sports. But it was always secondary to me. Like I want to hang out with my friends. I want to go to live shows. I want to go skateboard. I want to drink beers at a very young age, which I don't recommend now to my children. So it wasn't, I didn't get introduced to fantasy football until like 1998. You know, the Browns had come back and I ended up getting a job as a server. And the guys were like, "Hey, we're starting a fantasy football league. Are you into football?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I love football. Like I follow it pretty closely." And started playing then in 1998. And I did pretty well early, which, you know, probably just pure luck, honestly, at that point. And, you know, once you win at fantasy football, you're like, then you're really hooked. It's got its claws in. You're like, this is easy. This is easy money. So like 1998 is when it really started playing fantasy football as a whole.
And how was playing fantasy football for you for that very first, can you remember that first draft and how you went into actually doing the draft?
Yeah, I think we did it at the restaurant. I think it was Cooker was the restaurant. We did it like before shift or whatnot. I remember vividly, like my first pick was Rod Smith of the Denver Broncos, wide receiver. I remember at the time when we were doing the draft, it was Carson Palmer. Was it Carson Palmer? That draft? No, that was a different draft I'm thinking of. Somebody was on the TV at the time. I can't remember who it was. Like, who's going to be the first overall pick? And they already agreed to terms with that person and whatnot. So right around there, I think it was Rod Smith. I just remember getting in there, getting a magazine back in the day. You just buy a magazine and kind of go off of those rankings and going down the list and go to the kind of guys that you know and that you kind of like, and just draft out there and just having a good time with your friends. You know, like that. And that's the best part about drafts, like busting balls. Hey, nice pick, loser. You know, drafting team. Everybody comes away out of the draft feeling really good about their team. Like, I think I'm going to win this. Like, this team's really good. It's like being a 10-man league. Like, your team, like, looks fantastic. So it was a fun experience as a whole. Like I said, I made the playoffs. I don't think I won a championship that year, but I think I went pretty far. And from that moment on, like, though, I was hooked. Like, because I'd already loved football, and that made – and at the time, I was just really into the Browns. So, like, I was just, like, mostly watching Browns game. I wasn't like, I got to watch every game like a red zone addict today. I was just really into like the Browns, but it broadened my horizon so much to care about like what Rod Smith would do on the Denver Broncos, a team I hated, and how well they would do. Like, it just opened up so much more knowledge to me about the game and what's going on and players and names. So that really kind of sparked my interest a ton. And I'm a very like competitive person. So like having a chance to compete against people on something like that, it was just, it really did take like it. It was like trying like some kind of weird drug for the first time, and I couldn't get off of it. Cause from that moment on, like I had to play fantasy. I've never not played fantasy football since that fall of 1998.
And I'm sure in 1998, playing fantasy football was completely different than it is now. And in terms of just the resources that were available and the platforms weren't, you know, we didn't have all these platforms to actually play fantasy football on. So that first season, or maybe the first few seasons, how was that different than how it is now?
Oh, I mean, it's like night and day. It's like churning butter to get your butter back in the day compared to now, just walking in a grocery store, even a gas station to get your butter. It was, you know, everything was standard. It was very basic to the T. It was mostly touchdown dependent. And again, like you said, the information was like magazines. Like you'd go buy the magazine that was at the supermarket and that'd be your fantasy football, like information for the year. And you kind of go off of that. Even the internet at that time was still relatively like new, you know, at that time. Like you didn't go on the internet. Like if you want to download a picture off the internet, you'd start on Friday morning and hope up you wake up Saturday to have that picture be downloaded. Right. So the internet was even a completely different place. It was totally like a magazine kind of like base for me in 1998. It didn't really expand to the internet until, wow, like much later. Like, I don't even know how much later. Like, it feels like at least 5, 6, 7 years like later, right around there, like that boom in 2003, 2002. I mean, I guess Napster was like 2000. So, you know, use internet for that. But even then back then, I just used the internet to download music legally.
Right? Yep. Yes, I think we've all been there, at least if we're around that age group. Yeah, downloading illegal music, I guess I can cop to it now, so, you know. But yeah, that was the jam back in the day.
It was. I remember going to college 1999, and one of my buddy's roommates was like, hey, man, this guy can make you a CD with any songs you want on it. I'm like, what? That's impossible. He's like, yeah, man, just give me a list of 10 songs. He'll make it. And I'm like, all right, like I'll put Paperboy in a Diddy, Madonna like a Virgin, like had this like really super sweet playlist. Like it was mind blowing at the time. It was like the greatest technology I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Yeah, that's it is crazy. I find CDs sometimes. I don't have a CD player anymore, so I'm like, okay, I can't listen to this really. But yeah, I have so many mixed CDs that were burned off Napster, and you just hope that it's the right song. You know, it's not going to be punking you. So yeah, totally feel that. When you started playing fantasy football, did you start playing redraft first, or was Dynasty like the go-to thing that you started doing? I know 1998 and Dynasty wasn't really...
Yeah, it was not existent in my eyes. No, I didn't play Dynasty until 2003. Right around or 2004, I think. Actually, 2004 is when I started my first Dynasty League, is when it was. So never heard of Dynasty at that point. It was just fantasy and didn't even think about Dynasty. And the moment I heard about Dynasty is when I started playing Dynasty too. And it was kind of like, it was weird, really weird of like how I heard it. Like my buddy was like playing in some like kind of Dynasty college football like league where like you played per conference and you just get to keep those players kind of. So it was like a weird kind of dynasty league. And I was like, wow. Like, and at that time I didn't play in fantasy football for like, at that point, like 6 years. And like, I was doing better and better and felt better about the way I was playing fantasy. And it was always one of those things was like, they had keeper leagues. Like, and it started off originally, like my original fantasy league was like, you're allowed to keep one player and then two players. So it's kind of like a little keeper league. And I was like, always like, man, if you can keep all your players, I would do so good. I would do so good. Because I was winning a lot. And it was like, yeah, so I heard about that. And then like 2004, I was talking to my buddies and I was like, yeah, I heard about this thing called Dynasty where you can like keep your team forever. And like, how does it work? And I'm like, I don't know, man, but like we should do it. You know, you get to draft a roster of like 25 players. You just get keep those players forever. And then you get to use draft picks and draft rookies. And then we were always hardcore into the NFL draft because being a Cleveland Browns fan and being bad every single year for like 30 years, literally 30 years. Like the NFL draft was like your Christmas, right? Like this is our chance to turn it around. So like I had been following the draft like religiously. Like I would do mock drafts at home. Like I would follow these players. Like that's one thing I'd spend my free time in is like studying these rookies coming to the NFL, not because of fantasy football. It's because I want to know who the Browns could take and help us take us to the Super Bowl, which never really worked out. But so I heard about Dynasty in like 2004 and I got a lot of my good buddies together and I was like, hey, let's start this league. You know, it's going to be great. It's going to last forever. And I'm grateful to this day, like the league's still intact. Like my original Dynasty league to this day is still going. So it's going on year 20, this year. And that's exciting by itself. So yeah, we had no idea. Like we literally made up the rule. Like there was no websites. There was no, you know, information. There was no, any kind of, there's not even any magazines at that point of like how you could play Dynasty Fantasy Football. So we just made up the rules on our own, which is which is what I'm really happy with too, is like a lot of that kind of translated into like how we play fantasy today, like taxi squads. We actually used to call them practice squads because that's what the NFL called them. So we called it a practice squad. And we were like, hey, you get the rights to these rookies for 2 years. And it was all done on Yahoo too. So like everything had to be done like manual. I had to do everything manually through like an Excel sheet. Me and Matt O'Hara had to track it all manually. And it kind of just like carried right over from our redraft league. So everything was standard, very typical: kickers, defense, three wide receivers, two running backs, tight end, quarterback, 6 points for touchdowns. So that's how it all started. And we just had a big day where we were drinking beers in my garage and had this huge set up this huge draft room and spent like 6-7 hours doing this startup draft with nobody knowing what you're doing. I ended up with a first overall pick, and I think I took LaDainian Tomlinson with my first overall pick. And then Reggie Wayne with my second overall pick. And that was it. Once that started, that consumed me like no other. Like that was on a whole nother level of like addiction, playing dynasty fantasy football, because that's all we talked about. Like it's all me and my good buddies talked about in our free time. Like our then girlfriends, who ended up being our wives, were like, dude, do you guys ever like stop talking? And like football is like, it's June. Football's not even going on. And we're sitting there talking trades, rookies, and that's all we talk about, like all the time. Like we sit there like, oh, who are you gonna draft? Who you want to trade? Oh, trade me this guy. So it was very it consumed us all. We all loved it. And a majority of that league is still in the league today, which is also great. Like a lot of those guys stuck around. Like two guys left after the first year right away, but then the two guys that came in kind of stuck around for the whole time as well. So to have a lot of those guys still in the league for this long has also made it like a ton of fun.
Yeah, I bet. Having that kind of league and having that kind of closeness with the people that are in the league with you is always exciting to have, because I don't like being in those leagues where it's not active and you don't know anybody. And it's just like, why am I even in this league? But yeah, those home leagues like that, where you can get together and trash talk, like you were talking about, and all that other stuff. It's really fun to be able to experience that. What is your favorite type of like draft setup? Like if you were to have like ultimate draft where you could either do it in person or you could do it, you know, out at a bar somewhere at somebody's house, what kind of setup is your favorite kind of thing to do?
Yeah, I definitely think in-person drafts are absolutely the best. Like I think in my dream scenario for like a draft, it's always going to be in person. It's going to be at somebody's house with no rush whatsoever. I'm like, hey, you got 2 minutes to make a pick. You barbecue, you get some beers out, and you kind of hang, catch up with your friends. Cause like, and that's like, I think the biggest thing about Dynasty I love too is the camaraderie that comes with it, and that year long camaraderie. And not even for new people you meet, but as you grow older and people go different ways in life, like it's such a good way to stay in communication and stay friends with somebody. It's like a simple thing that connects you, but connects you all year long. It's so easy to drift and get caught up in real life. And definitely if you have kids or a career that's taken off, like it's very easy to blink and all of a sudden a year's gone by and you haven't talked to Jim or Matt, you know, and like a year's gone by. So I would love to be able to be in person, you know, where even if it was like, everybody, you're in this dynasty league and people did go their different ways, but like you make an event of it. Like this weekend, every year we go to this place at this guy's house and we have our draft. It doesn't matter what's going on. We all agree on the date. You fly in, we get together, and it's kind of like a class reunion per se. And you just kind of get to hang out, bust balls. Hey, you drafted that rookie. What a terrible pick. What an awful pick. He's going to be a bust. Which is always fun to do too. Cause it's not, when you're with your friends, they know it's not done out of, hate or anger. Like you're just there to bust balls. So that's my dream scenario, is actually have a day, because not only you get to try and better your dynasty team and like put all that time and research you put into that moment to get up to that point to make your pick, but then you also get to hang out with people that you truly care about and have a good time. And that's always great, no matter what you're doing, right? You can just tell me, hey, you're going to prison for 2 years, but you're going with your 12 best friends. But like, oh, this won't be too bad. You know, this, I could live with this. So that anytime you get to spend, you know, like anytime you spend any time with people that you care about, like it's a good time. So that just makes it even better when you're doing something that you love with the people that you love.
So being a dynasty fantasy football fan, do you watch college football, or what's your style with that? No.
No, I watch Ohio State. I watch Ohio State. I watch all those games that I possibly can, you know, barring my kids not playing sports, which over the last couple of years, like that's my life, is taking my two sons to their sporting events every single day. And then my kids play travel baseball. So like I watch college football and I watch big games when I can, but I watch every Ohio State game I possibly can. But I am in a person that does not watch college football. Like I have to watch every game. Like that's not like, cause I'm so consumed with like what I do now with Dynasty, like being an analyst and owning a website. Like I had to put so much time into the NFL and Dynasty 365. So like, it doesn't leave a lot of time, like having kids, doing a podcast every day, every once a week, now twice a week for 10 years, having kids, having a wife, having friends, having family, like it's real time consuming. So for me, I don't spend a lot of time watching college football. And I feel like though that has like, it's done me well over the years because I go into my rookie process completely unbiased. Like I hear people's names and whatnot, but like I have no pre-inclination about like, hey, this player is going to be good no matter what, cause I saw a couple plays or a couple games here and there. Like I go in to watch the tape and it's all fresh to me. Like it's all new and I get to learn about a player for the first time in depth. So I actually feel like it actually helps me over time by not being able to watch a lot of college football.
Yeah, I know when I first started playing Dynasty, I was really concerned that I wouldn't be able to do it because I don't watch college football, you know? So I was hesitant, but then I was like, whatever, I'm going to try it anyway. So I did, and it worked out. So I'm continuing to play Dynasty for whatever, however many years it's been now. But yeah, that was the biggest thing for me, was like, I'm going to be so behind and blah, 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 blah. But it wasn't like that at all.
And that's the thing too. Like now there's so many resources. You don't have to watch college. Like you don't have to put any of that time into, and that's like, and that's, I mean, I guess that's what my job is, right? To put in all the time. So other people don't have to put the time in. Like that's basically my whole job, is to make sure that everybody else go have a good time when it comes time to make a trade, or more importantly, draft a certain rookie. Like, hey, I'll just throw on the Dynasty Nerds podcast and like, I'll get all the information I need and I'll be prepared. And I can just get prepared in hours compared to like putting all this time in. So it's great nowadays where that you can play Dynasty and still find high success by just, you know, subscribing to a website, or not even subscribing, just like, just being on Twitter, really just being on Twitter will be enough to kind of help you base an opinion to help you like make the draft picks that you need to make.
And when you first started playing Dynasty, obviously you were talking about there weren't really any resources back then. And you talked a lot with your friends about Dynasty and about fantasy football. So is that what made you decide to start doing Dynasty Nerds content and putting things out for people to consume?
Yeah, it really, so it started like probably right around like 2010, 2009. I told one of my buddies, I was like, hey man, like we should start a Dynasty Fantasy Football website. Like there's nothing out there like for these people. And like, we put so much time, me and like my buddies, we put so much time into it, like scouting these rookies, and then like scouting's like reading up on them, getting at like trying to find local like websites to like read like local scouter, like local people like writing about these playable, like putting like going above and beyond, like figure out about these rookies. Like we put so much time into it. We're like, why wouldn't we like start a website and like give our opinion on Dynasty? Because like, we put so much time into it. Like we talk about it already nonstop. And my buddy at the time was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Cause I am not tech savvy. Like that's not my jam. Like me and computers are like arch nemesis. Like I don't put any time into it. And I'm lucky enough now where like, I don't have to, cause I have people around me that can do all that stuff. So I just point and click. And if I had to do something on my own, like I'm in big trouble. So he was like, at the time it didn't happen. And then I ended up getting a job for Chat Sports, writing a fantasy football column. And this was probably 2011, right around there. And I was writing like a weekly start sit column, like, you know, sneaky starts, one of those kind of things every single week. And I was doing pretty well with that. Like it got some good traction. A lot of my picks were like doing well again. So like my confidence level kind of grew a little bit. I was like, man, like this, like I'm Because to this day, it's kind of like it blows my mind, like how often. And I don't mean to sound this like, oh, like sound cocky, like how I could be right more than I'm wrong. And like, I don't know. I never played sports. I don't like, I'm not some like guru. I just watch what I watch and then kind of give you my opinion on it. And I just happen to be right more than I'm wrong. No idea. No, it literally, there's nothing special about it. It just worked out that way. So, and then at the time I was writing those articles and I was like, this is going pretty good. Like, this is cool. And I remember Ryan McDowell had just started for DLF and he was asking for people like to do mock drafts. And I was like, hey man, like I'll do one. And I remember messaging him too going, hey, do you own this website? I knew nothing about DLF. Like I knew nothing about him. Like, do you own this website? He's like, no, I just like work here. I'm like, this is great. And then I saw this thing where it said, hey, hire in writers. And I was already writing for Chat Sports. I was like, oh, I'm going to apply for DLF. I'm going to let people know how like take their dynasty game to another level. And I didn't get hired by DLF. And it's funny because the first time I met Ryan at the expo, I told him, I was like, hey man, you remember that time I applied to write for DLF? He's like, I absolutely do. Yes, I do. I was like, we didn't hire you. I'm like, yeah, I know. Maybe go start Dynasty Nerds instead. And we laugh about it because me and Ryan are friends now to this day. And I always appreciate everything he's done for the game. And so I didn't get that. And then right around 2013, randomly, one of my best friends, same person I asked in like 2009, he had started these websites, like random websites, like selling like shoes and stuff, like all with like backlinks to make money. He was like making some money at it. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, he called me and said, hey man, I'm in the area. I'm going to stop by and hang for a little bit. Is that cool? I'm like, yeah, stop by. And like I said, I was writing those articles. I was like, listen, man, like you're starting these websites. I'm writing these articles already. Like let's start a dynasty fantasy football website. Like, come on, man, like help me out here. Cause I wouldn't know how to start a website if my life depended on it. So he's like, all right, man, you've asked me like 15 times. So I tell you what, he's like, we'll start a website. I'll do everything behind the scenes. I'll manage the website. I'll create it. But then you have to do all the content, all that. He's like, but I have one caveat. And he's like, if we do a website, we have to do a podcast. And I was like, what's a podcast? He's like, it's a radio show on the internet. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty stupid. Yeah. I was really into like sports talk radio too. Like really into sports talk radio. That's all I listened to why I drove. So I was like, cool, dude, whatever. You know, like, let's do it. And I asked, at the time I asked, the probably like five guys who were in my original dynasty. Like I was, hey man, I remember being at the bar saying, hey, I'm going to start a dynasty fantasy football website. There's not enough out there right now. And I'm gonna make you guys all my partners. Like we're going to do this. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be great. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to put our rankings out there. We're going to write articles all the time. Meanwhile, nobody'd ever written an article in their entire life. And of course, right away at the bar, like six dudes were like, hell yeah, man, let's do it. Let's start it. And that lasted probably for a month of like the six of us. It really dwindled down to the four of us really quickly. We started Dynasty Nerds. The idea came, we started getting everything set up in 2013, created the website behind there, got the podcast set up, did like a lot of research in the podcast. Like, so I started listening to like, I never knew what a podcast was, but I started listening to other Dynasty podcasts that were out there at the time. If you were around in 2013, you know who those podcasts were. And the number one thing I came away with was like, my God, this sound quality is terrible. Like, how do people listen to this? And our thing at Dynasty Nerds, and always has been, like, if we're going to do something, like, we're going to do it right. Like, we're not going to just put something out there just to put it out there. Like, we're going to do it right. Like, if we have to invest it into some things, we're going to invest in some things. So we did research on microphones, research on what you needed for sound quality, tested it, made sure it was okay. Went out to Fiverr.com to get somebody to make us an intro. We used the same exact intro we have for the last 10 years, which is crazy. We paid $5 for it. and we made sure our sound quality was better than everybody else's, which I think really helped propel us to where we are today. I will always say the podcast propelled us to where we are today. But like the sound quality obviously was a huge part of that. So there it was. It was, my buddy Josh behind the scenes. He's still behind the scenes to this day. Doesn't even play Dynasty. never really doesn't even play fan. He played fantasy for a little bit, but he just does all the technical side, super smart that way. And then it was my, to this day, Matt O'Hara, my best friend who's on the show to this day. And then a buddy, Mike Yozibovich at the time too. The three of us had started doing the podcast and we did it every single week, no matter what. And at the time, Mike and Matt had probably like a year into it, or not even like 6 months into it, they started having kids. So it was hard because we did a podcast at my house.
Yeah.
And it was hard for them because they had these kids and their wives are like, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean you're going to do a podcast? Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, you're going to Rich's house every Tuesday at 8 o'clock at night, and I'm sitting here with the kids. So after a couple of years, Mike ended up dropping off because life got too busy. But Matt and I kept going on, and here we are 10 years later with that. So that's the origins of Dynasty Nerds, at least how it started. And it's very infantile state of Dynasty. And like, we were just so focused on not making money, but putting the best information we possibly could out there to help other players that love the game that we loved, and to honestly grow the game of Dynasty. Like, that's to this day, I tell people they ask me about Dynasty Nerds, I've had one goal with Dynasty Nerds, and it's not to make money, it's to grow the game of Dynasty. Like, it's like I have something that I love that I want everybody else to feel that love too. And for the most part, once people, if you're interested in fantasy, once you start playing Dynasty, it really does take your love of that game to a whole nother level. And it opens your doors to, like you said, that camaraderie, people. If you can find yourself into that community, and you don't have to be an analyst, but to find yourself in that community, like, it's a, for the most part, 90% of the time, it's a really good community to be a part of. So to this day, I've always had the same like mindset. Like, I just want to grow the game of Dynasty. I want people to find this game, play it, and love it. And I want to just put, I already put the time in, and no matter what, if Dynasty, I've never started Dynasty, I'd probably be putting the same amount of time I am in today. Now I had an outlet for like this information I'm putting all this time into, instead of just talking to my buddies with, like, I get to go out there and talk on a microphone, or write at the time, write articles and put it out there. And then, you know, when that hits, you're like, oh, look at me. Look, I'm right. Like, that rookie was great. Like, it worked out. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, but it's just like anything. It's like any project you put a lot of time into and then it works out. Like, there's reward there because you tried your hand at something. You put a lot of time into it and it worked out. So there's joy there. It's the same thing of like, you know, I talk about having like Drew Brees on my roster for 15 years. Like, Drew Brees ended up becoming my favorite players of all time because like I drafted him. I loved him as a rookie and they ended up being a Hall of Famer. And you're like, look at me. Like, I got it.
Hey everyone, Casey Kasem here. I want to take a moment to tell you about Sunday Dreamers Club, my fantasy football inspired t-shirt store. If you're looking for unique, stylish, and comfortable apparel that showcases your love for fantasy football, look no further than SundayDreamersClub.com. Whether you're gearing up for the next big game, hosting a draft party, or just want to sport some awesome gear, Sunday Dreamers Club has got you covered. With a variety of designs and styles to choose from, there's something for every fantasy football fan out there. Your support means the world to me, and there are so many ways you can help me grow this new small business. Grab a shirt or two for yourself or as a gift for your fantasy football league mates, or you can spread the word to your friends and family. Every bit helps, and I truly appreciate your support. Thanks for listening, and now, let's get back to the show. I love that. I love that you brought up the quality of audio back in the day, because what that feels like when I started listening to fantasy football podcasts was right around the time that you guys were all starting out, with your quality being so awesome. I was going to ask you about how you went about doing that, but I just do remember that time period listening to podcasts, and it just sounded like they were, you know, underwater or it was muffled, and you're like, I know you have good advice and I can't hear it.
Yeah. It was a huge turnoff, right? Like, if it doesn't matter how good the voice was, like if the sound quality was bad, like I instantly turned it off. Like, mm-hmm. Like I can't listen to this. Mm-hmm. It was also a lot of like mundane stuff. Like, hey man, like you should draft. Like, I still love to this day, like Pete Over's intro about the Dynasty podcast or Fantasy Football podcast coming with the beats. The guy comes, hey, welcome to the Fantasy Football Show. And it's like, a lot of it was just like really boring, I guess is the best way to put it. And like, we want to make sure we also didn't do that. Like some people, they'll talk about our show, like, man, you guys talk like 10 minutes at least per show, like not about fantasy football. I'm like, yeah, sorry. That's our show. If you don't like it, go listen to something else. Like we'll talk about our lives or something we think is funny as well. So we try to make sure it's an entertaining show. But as far as your question about like the kind of like equipment we use, again, my buddy Josh, who's behind the scenes, he did all the research to that. He's like, hey man, I put the when he researches something, like he's all in on it. He's like, hey, I think the first microphones he got, I don't think were as good, but then we get the second ones he got, were pretty good. So he just put a lot of time into it. Like, hey, this is what I think we should use. Like after all my research, this is what we should use. And that's what we use. Like he would just tell us what we needed and how to go about it. And we would just do what he told us. Like I said, I'm not tech savvy. So you have to tell me what to do. Like, and I would learn after that point, I learned how to like upload the podcast into Libsyn, how like, you know, all that stuff. And he would publish it and do all that stuff for the website. But it was all him. Like it was all him just doing the research and putting the time into it to find the right quality of equipment to make sure the podcast was of quality, at least sound quality. You know, I don't know about the voice quality, but sound quality.
You said that you guys have been around for 10 years. And I know that you guys had I think February was when you guys had your episode where you talked about the whole process of coming along with Dynasty Nerds. But over those 10 years, I mean, obviously the landscape's changed in the fantasy football world and there's so many more podcasts out there and everything. How do you make sure that your podcast continues to be fresh and be received well by your audience?
I don't. I know that sounds lame, but I don't. I look at the podcast as like, we figure out what we're going to talk about that week. I put my research into it, my time into it, and then I get on the mic and I get to hang out with my buddies and we get to talk Dynasty Fantasy Football. So like, and that's it. Like I don't concern myself about what anybody else in the community is talking about. And like I tell it, say this all the time, I don't listen to other Dynasty podcasts. Like I don't, it's not out of like, oh, I'm better than somebody else. I don't ever want to be accused of like copying somebody else's take or find it like, you know, like stealing somebody else's like jab or like kind of changing my direction. Like, I've been doing the same thing for 10 years and that's what I do. And we've been lucky enough where like a lot of people have ended up tuning in to the podcast. Like sometimes it still blows my mind. Like when you go look at Chartable and you see like you're a top 10 fan, like just fantasy football podcast week in and week out, like it's kind of like humbling and mind blowing sometimes on the numbers. But like, I think that does like my favorite, my number one comment we've always gotten is like, what I like about your show is it feels like me and my buddies are just hanging out at a bar talking Dynasty. So that's all I do is I just try to make sure like I'm having a good time with the people we're talking about, putting out, you know, some decent information, and that's it. And I don't listen to shows back. I never have. Until we actually like got bigger and we got like somebody to edit our podcast, this is year 10. I would say for at least 7 years, minimum 7 years, if not 8, I never edited a single podcast. Like we would record it. We would hit stop. I would hit publish. That's how it worked. Like that was the show. Like there was no like, oh, did this work? Did that work? Let's go cut that out. Like, no, like it was stop, publish all the time. That's how it worked. So I don't put a lot. I mean, I want the podcast to grow. But at the same time, it's kind of like in this day and age, people will find you. Mm-hmm. Like people will find you. And listen, I understand fully like my personality. Either you like me and you think like we would get along, or you can't stand me. Like you think I'm super annoying. Like I get it. Like, and that's totally cool. Right. That's
same way for me. So
like my sense of humor is my sense of humor. And like, if you don't like me, that's fine because I don't want to hang out with people that don't have the same sense of humor as me anyways. Like I have my own particular mindset of what's funny. And some of it's not, you know, can be pretty brash, but that's fine too. Cause I think there's a joke in everything. Doesn't matter what it is. I think there's a joke there somewhere. So if you find it and you like it, and to this day, people, hey, I just found your show and I think it's awesome. You know, like you're going to find a show. But besides that, like the only thing I could do is go out there and do the best show that I can on that Tuesday night. And some days I'll be off and some days I'm going to be feeling well, or like maybe I didn't put enough time in that I should have put in that week or whatever. But for the most part, at least I'm going to do the best show that I possibly can. And I'm going to put it out into the universe and whoever wants to pick it up and listen to it and download it. Like, huge thanks. Really grateful that you give me a little bit of your time of the day to hear me talk about a passion of mine. But besides that, there's no, you know, for the podcast wise, there's no like, oh, how do I do better? Now for the Dynasty Nerds, it's the opposite. Like, it's like, how do we grow this? What can we do? How do we innovate? Like, what can we build? And that's, but that goes back to my, what I said earlier, like my passion is to grow the game of Dynasty. So I say this all the time on the podcast. I'm like, hey man, join the Nerd Herd, support us, you know, and by supporting us is like, hey, buy me a cup of coffee once a month. That's like all I'm asking you to do. Like, if you enjoy my show, all I want you to do is buy me one cup of coffee a month. And just pretend for those four shows, or now we do eight shows. Now we will actually do, if you're a Nerd Herd member, you get three shows a week. We're doing three shows a week. Like, hey, I'm giving you 12 hours of my time. Let's talk about over a cup of coffee. It's all you gotta do is just buy my cup of coffee for me. And I say like this, like it's never been about money for me. So like those resources go right back into like, okay, what's some more cool stuff we could build? Like, what can we build to help make people better Dynasty players? And that's all we're focused on. And our list of things to build, like I wish we could afford like 20 developers. It'd be amazing, but we can't. And we have a really good developer and he doesn't usually want help because he feels like they'll mess things up. And it's just kind of like, let's build. So I try to tell people like, hey, when you join the Nerd Herd, it's not like you're giving Rich $5, right? Like every month, like you're helping, like you're reinvesting in yourself. Like you're going to get some really cool, dope tools to help you play Dynasty and make your life easier. Or just, you know, cause I've been playing long enough where like, I know what I want. Like, you know, I know what I want out of Dynasty and the tools that I want that help me make it easier on me or make it more fun. So like where I don't focus on a podcast, like how to get more people to like, listen, like that's just going to come naturally, right? Like we don't even advertise. So it's like, that will just come. And if we ever advertise, so be it. But like, I do care about like growing Dynasty Nerds. But again, it's not from like growing it to the point of like, oh, I want to go buy a yacht. It's more of like, man, I want to build more cool, dope tools so people can use them, which will help. Because like you said, if you don't watch college football, you want to make it as, because we can't, like, we're not super deep analytical people. Like, I'm a film guy. Like, I watch film. I give my opinion. That's what it is. Like, I understand, like, analytics is a part of it. We've incorporated that more now in the Dynasty Nerds. But, like, we want to cater to the casual Dynasty player. Like, that's, like, we always have them in mind when we're talking. And people, like, and I remember being the first year at the expo. And we threw the after party for the expo at the bar. And I remember a couple of analysts came to me and like, yeah, man, this, like, Matthew, let's use him as an example. Like, Matthew Berry saying, like, oh, draft, like, Julio Jones. Like, I'm like, no, dude, you don't understand. Like, we are diehards. Like, yeah. We know it is. Like, most players are just casual players, like in their office league, and they're like, hey, you want to play this fantasy football? And you just do it for the camaraderie, or you don't want to be like an outsider. Most players are casual players. They might watch their home team, and even then, it's not a lot. So, like, they need something. I know it sounds dumb to us, but they need that person out there to tell them, like, hey, like, Drake London's a sleeper this year, or Bijan Robinson might have a big step, or now Dalton Kincaid, now Stephon Diggs is traded. Dalton Kincaid's the head of the pack. And you might be like, oh yeah, no crap, Dalton Kincaid's the head of the pack. Well, this person over here doesn't even know who Dalton Kincaid is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're thank you for saying all that. I see it. Well, I feel like when I'm putting out content, when I'm writing articles and stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, this doesn't sound as, you know, stat driven and this, that, and the other. This just sounds like, but then I have to think back to when I was playing at the beginning and when I was just consuming content, I just wanted to know who are the good players and why should I take them? And I don't need, you know, so I get that. Yeah. It's not dumb to be writing about.
No, because then if you're not doing that, then who's providing those people with the information? And like, we don't dumb down Dynasty Nerds, but we make sure we cover all aspects of that too. Like with our coverage, because like people need that information and Dynasty is still growing. Like Dynasty is still in its infancy stages here. Like the dam is not broke. Like there's a leak in the dam now. You know, I told Mike Clay that a couple of years ago. I was like, hey man, I just want to tell you, like, I really appreciate what you do for Dynasty by just like what ESPN allowed you to do, because that grows the game. And now that Matthew Berry talks about it, like it helps grow the game, right? Because I do feel like once you play Dynasty, you don't go back. So for me, it's like, yeah, you need those kind of people. And I understand where people are like, because, yeah, I mean, try talking to the casual player about like breakout age and, you know, war and stuff like that. Like, they don't know what that means. And they don't want to sit there. Like, you're going to put all these analytics into an article. They're not going to read that. Like, they're going to be like, oh, okay, this makes sense to me. like, no. Is he fast? Can he catch the football? Is he schemed open? So, yeah, man, you have to, like, know your audience. And we try to cater to all that. Like, we try to give you our sleeper. We try to talk it in a very, you know, common way. And it's kind of like, and it's honestly, that's like, you know, because I know some people, like, they'll see our studio and everything. They're like, oh, they copied the Fantasy Footballers. And I don't ever write back. I'm like, no, dude, us and the Fantasy Footballers started at the exact same time. Like, literally the exact same time is when we started our show. Like, there's no copying. I've only actually listened to their show probably like 2 to 3 times. But the same thing, like, you're catering to a mass audience that's trying to play a game, and there's a reason they're listening to you. And if you want to cater to those hardcore analytic people, that's fine. But now you're talking about a niche of a niche. You're right. You're talking about a small amount of people, now a smaller amount of people that really care about like that kind of information. You know, like, it's just, it's hard. Like, it's like, and I just want to get, like I said, I just want to grow the game. So I just want to talk about it in the most fun, the most easy way possible to people to enjoy that game, and always hammer home the importance of like, what are the ground basics of Dynasty, you know? And which, me, for the number one ground basis is winning. Like, that's where I differ. Like, that's where we differ from a lot of other shows too. Like, we like to go left when other people are going right. And we found a lot of success on that. Like, people are like, oh, draft this person. And we're like, no, don't draft that person. Like, people are like, oh, Jamal Williams. Like, no, draft Aaron Jones instead. Or like, hey, this player is going to be good. Like, ah, we don't think he's going to be good. Like, the tape doesn't say he's going to be good. We'll go left. And same thing, like, we don't value draft picks as much as other people because we'd rather find a way to win, like, your league. Like, we say on the show all the time, like, some people, like, they're so worried about, like, how their team looks on paper compared to, like, how do I win a championship? Mm-hmm. And that's all that, like, to me personally, like I said earlier, like, I'm competitive. Like, that's all that matters. Like, how do I get that? Like, I have no problem going all in and slightly overpaying by giving up what some people say a draft pick is overpaying for a player, when we've done historical data where if you have pick 10 through 12, so 9, 10, 11, 10, pick 9 through 12 in your rookie draft, 9 through 12, over the last 15 years, we did the average ADP of rookie drafts. 50% of those players, picks 9 through 12 over the last 15 years, 50% aren't even rosterable on your roster. Like, not even rosterable, those rookie picks. So, like, and those are contenders, right? Like, those are contenders that we're talking about. So it's like, if I had to give up pick 10 to get Keenan Allen, you know, last year, because I know it can help me win, then I'm giving up Keenan Allen. Or Mike Evans is even a better example, but like, because Mike Evans has been, you know, thought, talked down upon for probably 3 years. Like, Joe Mixon falls to that category. People talk like, oh, Joe Mixon's washed. Oh, you put it on Twitter and you're like, hey, give him a first round pick for Joe Mixon. And people are like, don't know, understand, like, in a vacuum, how that would help your team, like, win a ship. And they're like, oh, what a terrible trade. Like, you're a terrible dynasty. Or the number one thing, like, oh, let me know next time you're joining a dynasty league so I can join a league with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, one of those comments like that. And you're like, okay, buddy. So it's like, you want to win. Like, it's fun playing. It's fun drafting rookies. It's fun doing that. But, like, I tell people all the time, nothing's more fun than winning.
Right.
Nothing's more fun. And, like, I say this on a show all the time, like, you're not going to go home, you know, when you're old and people are like, oh, grandpa, like, you played Dynasty for 30 years. I'm like, yeah, I came in second place 25 times. Like, oh, okay. Nobody, like, they don't care. Like, you're not bragging about that, but, like, championships last forever. And never even get a good league. Like, our home league has a trophy. We've had a trophy for 20 years. And you get your name engraved. It looks like a Heisman trophy. And you get your name engraved on the trophy. I could care less about the money. I care less about any other league, my high stakes leagues or anything. I want my name on that trophy because that's forever, right? Like, that's there. That shows it. Like, all my hard work came to fruition. Like, I won my league. And it's hard. It is. It's hard to win. Doesn't matter how good your team looks on paper, because you get those playoffs, it takes one Alvin Kamara Christmas game where he scores 6 touchdowns and you're toast, right? Like, or, you know, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase go off in championship week for a combined 95 points and you're toast. I lost to Scott Fishbowl that way. So for me, like, it's like, we want to focus on winning. And there's so many different ways to go about that. Because, you know, my favorite slogan about Dynasty is when I used to say this back in the day, like 9 years ago, like how, like what's so great about Dynasty? I'm like, dude, it's unbelievable. It's the only game where when you're losing, you're still winning. Because now you're going to go like this high draft pick, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, can you imagine any league where you're going to go into that league and you're going to pay that league entry fee of, let's say, $100. You're going to pay that fee knowing you have a 0.0% chance to win that league. But you're excited about it. Like, oh, I'm going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm going to get Caleb Williams. I'm going to get Bijan Robinson. Like, you're excited about that. Right? Like, you what? People, they have rules against tanking, so you don't try to lose intentionally. Like, so you don't want to be the loser. So, but like, it's exciting because you see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, okay, I'm going to lose now to win later. And that to me is still like winning, right? That's still finding a way to win a championship. And like, there's many different ways to go find that path to championship, but like, whatever you have to do not to be stuck in the middle, that's what we want to help you do. Like, either you want to be at the very bottom, all in, rebuilding, or you want to be at the top, going all in to win. Like, there's no in the middle. And it's kind of like how we build our tools, too, to kind of give you that bird's eye view of your league to see. Because in Dynasty, it's so easy to get stuck in the middle because the problem is, like, you'll see your team, and your team looks pretty good. You know, like, it looks okay. But if you can't see the rest of the league, where, like, I tell people, like, it's so easy to get stuck in the middle in Dynasty because you think your team's okay because you just made the playoffs or just missed it. Not realizing the only reason you're there is because the other teams are rebuilding and they're getting rid of all their players. They're doing it the right way. So if you have 2 to 3 teams that are in rebuild mode and blowing it up, well, that naturally is going to push you more closer to the middle or the top because of course your team's better than them. They don't have any players on there. Their number one running back is J.K. Dobbins. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What are you gonna do? Their quarterback is Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo and Superflex. Like, you, of course you're in the middle. Like, that doesn't help you. So we always are just like focused on how do you get to the point where you get to hold that trophy or get those bragging rights, because those are forever. Those are that's forever. Like, I won my league. You know, like, on our 10-year anniversary show, we had Mike back on. It was so fun to have him back on the show. It just so happened he'd won the championship that year for the first time in 19 years. He had won. And it's like, dude, he's like, that's the best. He's like, it's the best thing. He's like, that's all I could think about the whole weekend. It's like, oh, I hope I win. I hope I, like, he's like, the amount of joy it brought me, like, I can't even put into words like how much joy that brought me. And like, when you're in a league, if you're lucky enough to be in a league past like 3 to 4 years, like, that's all you at that point. Like, you know, the beginning of a dynasty league is like redrafts. Like, so there's a lot of like luck involved into it.
Yeah.
But when you're in, like, definitely him, like year 19 of it, right? Like, that's you. Like, your hands are all over that. That's on the players you drafted, the trades you made. So we're redraft, it's like, oh, like, there's a lot of luck involved. Like, yeah, you have to have a good startup draft, but then you gotta hope those players do good. You gotta hope they stay healthy. You gotta hope you do good in the playoffs. In dynasty, that's completely different. Like, you molded that from you just made a really nice vase out of clay, right? Like, you molded that with your own hands. Like, your hands are all over that. Every decision, every person on that team is a decision that you decide to make at some point over the years. So when you win, the feeling's different, right? Like, because, like, you did that. Of course there's luck involved, but like, you put yourself in that position to win. You know, whether it be you drafted Puka Nacua late in the fourth, or you made that one trade that worked out by trading for Raheem Mostert for a 3rd-round pick, and people were like, whatever. But like, now he's ended up being a running back 3, or you drafted Kyren Williams in the 3rd round, something along those lines. Like, your hands are all over that. And it does, like, that joy hits just a little bit different because you accomplished something that you've been working on either for years or for months, right? Like, so that joy just hits differently.
Yeah. Thank you for saying all of that. Cause like, now I'm like, I'm going to have to go make some trades after this show because I'm in the middle and like every one of my dynasty leagues and I'm like, ugh. And I did win the first year of one of the dynasty leagues. And yeah, it was basically like a redraft. So yeah. I was like, but it's not as fun, I'm sure, as it would be if I could get these teams turned around. So definitely going to have to look, cause trading and everything. I know when I first started playing dynasty, just going into a startup draft was really scary for me because I was not sure what the values were like on players. And somebody's trying to lowball me and I'm not knowing it's a lowball offer. I'm thinking, you know, redraft, this, that, and the other. So what kind of advice do you have for people that haven't started playing Dynasty yet, but want to start playing?
Go to dynastynerds.com.
There you go.
Yeah, honestly, it's the best advice I can give. But, like, use Twitter. Like, follow, find good people to follow, right? Like, use that information. And there's so many free tools out there now, too. Like, you know, a trade calculator is not for the most savvy person. Like, trade calculators should never be, like, nothing's worse than somebody sends you a screenshot of a trade calculator. Like, oh, see, this is a fair trade. It's like, dude, no, first of all, it doesn't do my team any good whatsoever. And like, I value that differently than that league does. So just use the tools around you, because like Dynasty is just like anything else. Like if you stay stagnant and you do the basic amount of work, you're going to get the most basic results out of that as well. Like if you're not into it and you just do it just to do it, you might luck into a championship by drafting a couple of right guys, but like, you got to put some time into it as well. So like, be willing to put time into it. Like go, like use Dynasty Nerds and then, but then use us and then use DLF and then use Ray Garvin, use Dynasty Zoltan, use these other people, like use Fantasy Pros, use Fantasy Football. Like look at where all these guys are and then use that information as a tool, but come to your own conclusions, right? Like I give my information out and I tell everybody like, hey, this is my opinion. Don't hold against me. Take it for what you want, but use that compared to other information you find and find a common ground where you feel like it's why we have a film room on Dynasty Nerd. So you can watch these rookies. Like we break down the film, but we're like, hey, we encourage you, you go watch the film now and see if you're seeing the same thing we're seeing, right? Like you might completely disagree. Like when we're telling everybody, hey, don't draft Quentin Johnston. It doesn't matter. He's a first round pick to the Chargers because there's a lot of warts on him. Like that's our opinion. You know, we're saying, hey, don't draft Juju Smith-Schuster because we don't think he's got good long-term ability. He's a little stiff. That's fine. Like, but you have to be able to put in some work. Otherwise, you're just going off the NFL draft. And listen, NFL draft gets it wrong just as much as everybody else. Because you end up drafting like John Ross, Darius Hayward Bay, you know, like guys along those lines that sometimes players are literally just, and we talk about in the podcast, like some players are better help for their NFL team than they are for your fantasy football team. You know, like a guy like Will Fuller, we felt was like better for an NFL team than it would be for your fantasy football team because you want consistency there. So I would just tell everybody like you today compared to when we started is like, again, like we are living back when I started, it's like we were living with dinosaurs and now we're living in 2024 with all the information at your fingertips. Like, and you don't even have to pay money for it. Like it's all out there. If you Google Dynasty Fantasy Football rankings, you're going to find 15 different people's rankings right away. If you want to look, Google Dynasty rankings overall as a whole, you're going to find them everywhere. And now, you know, with the free sites and all that, you might have put a little bit extra work in and kind of do like, okay, this site has them at 14. This site has them at 32. You know what I mean? Like, let me go find a third site and kind of see where it is. Like, and do it that way. It's kind of like, it's just like poker, right? Like, if you have ace king, you feel way better going to the hand if you have 7-2. So put yourself in the best position when you're ready to enter the game or when you're ready to enter a pot per se. Make sure you have a good hand doing it. Because if you enter the pot 7-2, don't be surprised when you lose, right? Go into it with a good hand. And by having a good hand, it's just putting a little bit extra time in. And that could be just your time you spend on the toilet, to be honest with you, really, or in between bed. Like, so much of us have times in our day, or better said, in a week, where we have a little bit of time just to waste. And if you want to spend that watching cat videos, that's cool. But instead, if you really love the game, put into like reading articles, just reading Twitter. Like I say it all the time, Twitter is the best tool possible because you get that instant information and you get other people's opinion nonstop. And sometimes it's just like, hey, Stephon Diggs just got traded the Houston Texans. Like, oh, wow, that really makes Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir way more valuable. Maybe I can go out there and make a trade before that like news catches up to people. Or maybe somebody's a free agent, some along those lines. Like, that information is valuable. Like, going out there, like, hey, can I get Curtis Samuel off you? What do you want? Like, give me a third. Like, cool, great, this is fantastic. I just got the number one current receiver for the Buffalo Bills for a third round pick. Like, it's like information comes in all different facets, right? Like of how you can get the information from websites to Twitter, to reporters, to television. Like there's so many different ways to play the game in Dynasty. It's just about going out there and putting in the effort to get better. And sometimes if you really want to excel and you want to make your life easier, I would say. So instead of, like I said before, for these free sites, instead of doing like all the cross-referencings of different sites, you can come to a site like Dynasty Nerds, buy us a cup of coffee once a month, and we'll just give you all the tools that you possibly need just to make your life easier. Now you have more free time to go watch those cat videos, to go binge watch Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to put in the time. And that's fine, because my hobby is this. This is my number one hobby, is Dynasty. So, like, for me, this is fun. For you, fun might be going on hikes, going to trips, binge watching television shows, barbecuing. Like, and that's cool. And this is just kind of a fun thing you do. Well, that cup of coffee a month can make that fun thing you do increase that hand that you have. So instead of having seven deuce, maybe you don't go with aces, but you go in there with 10 jack suited or queen jack suited or ace king offsuit. Like those tools will increase your odds of finding success. And again, it goes back to what I was saying. You just want to win, right? Like we're playing to win, not to have the best roster on paper or have all these rookie picks or, hey man, like I have all these rookie picks. I'm on the best team in 3 years. Well, guess what? I've been playing Dynasty for 20 years and no many people will show me their roster. I'm like, dude, in 2 to 3 years, I'm going to win 7 ships straight. Never. It's never come to fruition ever. I've never seen that work out, whether it be injuries, bust, whatever. It doesn't work out. Like, oh, I got Justin Fields. His rookie. Look at me. QB1, baby. Here we are 2 years later. He's not even a starting quarterback. Like it's football changes every day. Like the NFL is a wild place. It's why it drives me nuts when these like professional coaches and I'm like, oh, F fantasy football. It's like, bro, fantasy football has made this a multi-billion dollar business. Like fantasy football is, I will say that as 100% fact. The NFL is as big as it is today because of fantasy football. That is why. That's why the Red Zone channel exists. It doesn't exist because we're like, I need more football. It's like, they want to watch their fantasy players and how they're doing. That's why it exists. So to be able to do that, it's like, I don't even have the right words for it. I really don't. I don't have the right words for it.
Well, you were talking about poker and I'm like, I don't know anything about poker. So that just went right over. I get what you were saying though, even though I don't play poker.
You could use that. I can't even speak right now. You can use that in any kind of comparison of what you're into. Like if you're into like whatever, like if you're into Pokemon, like, oh, that's like a, I don't know anything about Pokemon, but that's like a Pokemon.
Great example.
Whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything about that, but whatever you're into, it's like, you just want to put yourself in the best position of whatever you're doing. Right. Like if you're going to play chess, would you rather have 2 queens or 1 queen? You know what I mean? Or like, would you rather have all your pieces or none of you, like, or they have the other, there's so many different ways to go about doing it, but it really just boils down to putting yourself in the best position to find success. And that's it. And then hope a little luck falls on your side too, because it does play a factor in it as well.
Okay. So let's talk about the Nerd Herd, because this is an audio only podcast, but behind you, you've got the big hashtag Nerd Herd. And I know you're repping on your merch as well. So what exactly is the Nerd Herd? And also, how did you guys come up with the name?
Oh, the Nerd Herd?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just, I can't remember. I was like, yeah, Dynasty Nerds, come like join, like instead of like join the nerds, like come part of the Nerd Herd. You know what I mean? it's just one of those things I said and it just kind of stuck really for the Nerd Herd. So we just call the Nerd Herd, like anything else, like what is the fantasy? Isn't it like the Foot Clan? I think footballers. Foot Clan. Like everybody, like Jim Rome called it the Jungle or whatever it is. Like all these musicians, like Madonna or Taylor Swift, Swifties. Like everybody has something. So like ours is just a Nerd Herd. Like join the Nerd Herd. Come part of like join our tribe, right? Like join our tribe is what we're asking you to do. And it's just community. People that really enjoy the podcast or they enjoy our information. Or more importantly, join the tools that we provide. So the Nerd is, like I said, we're just constantly innovating and building new tools for our users to use. So like we have the Discord channel. So there's a community there. We have a 20,000 person Facebook page. But the big thing, you know, we have the Dynasty Nerds film room. So you can go on there and watch all these rookies and watch their film. We have Nerd Scores, which kind of works as like an NFL draft grade, which we, again, like not to boast, but like our Nerd Score has outperformed NFL draft capital. So like our Nerd Herd scores, when we put those out before the NFL draft, which is just based off of tape only, has outproduced NFL GM's draft capital. Like that's how good that's worked out. And then, of course, we built the Dynasty GM. It's like the first major Dynasty app out there. You know, I know Player Profile had theirs, but there's a lot of like, there's a lot of stuff you got to pay for. Where our app is free, but like obviously like anything, like if you pay for it, there's a lot more you can get out of it, like way more out of it. So like you said, being stuck in the middle, like my favorite thing about our app, we have a league analyzer where like it just shows you the whole league as a whole. You can put it in contender mode. You can put it in dynasty mode. It kind of show you where you stand and where your weaknesses are and your strengths, right? Like, cause nothing's worse where like, man, I really need a wide receiver. Go into your league, go click on this team, look at their wide receivers. There's 11 other teams in your league. By the time you get to the 10th team, you forgot already what team one had. So it makes your life easier, right? I need a receiver. Oh, look, Casey's got a ton of receivers, but she needs a tight end. I'm really strong at tight end. It's going to help move a trade up, right? Like, and it's going to show you, like, when you click on them now, they'll have a player card and say, hey, wow, she's loaded wide receiver. It'll tell you DJ Moore is Casey's wide receiver 3. It'll tell you that. So, like, oh, wow. Like, so the odds of her trading DJ Moore are way higher than if that said DJ Moore is her wide receiver 1, right? Like, so if I go, hey, I want to go trade for Curtis Samuel right now, and I click on Curtis Samuel in that league, in the Dynasty GM, it'll tell you, hey, Curtis Samuel is currently Casey's wide receiver 8. Well, the odds of Casey getting rid of Curtis Samuel now just like skyrocketed, right? Because like she doesn't need Curtis Samuel whatsoever. Wherever it says Curtis Samuel is her wide receiver 2, it's like, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm not getting Curtis Samuel off of her. So tools like that, being part of the Nerd, just gives you all the tools to help you just make the game easier, make it more fun. And that's it. And like we just updated the app with our player cards this past week. We just updated that. And like I said, I mean, we have such a long list of things to build and come out with. Like we have a really cool game we want to put on the app, like for people to play for free. That we're hopefully will be done this summer. So like it's just about getting the tools, getting the information, getting the extra podcasts, getting the Discord, getting like access to AMAs with us and get to hang out. Things along those lines. So like we always say, for the price of a cup of coffee a month, like we're going to give you the tools that will help you be a better Dynasty player. And that's the Nerd Herd, right? Like it's our community. It's the Dynasty Nerds community. If you like what we do, join our community. And listen, we're not for everybody. Like some people are like, oh, nerd sucks. Like I'm a DLF guy, or hey, nerd sucks. I only listen to Ray Garvin. That's cool. Like I love everybody. You know, like I love Ray. Ray knows I love him. Shit. Ray started with us. Ray started with Dynasty Nerds. You know, there's a lot of people that have gone and come through this community that have been a part of this. And I've told me and Ryan McDowell have talked about this a ton, definitely back in the day. Like, this is not a competition. Like, we don't view this as a competition. Like, oh, it's nerds or nobody else. It's like, no, listen to nerds and listen to somebody else. Right. Like, that's how you get the best. That's how you come to like a really good, solid base of information. Like, listen to everybody. Now, we prefer you subscribe to us than somebody else because, you know, we want to keep building dope stuff. But, like, hey, if we're not your cup of tea, we're cool with that, too. Like, this is a community. Like, we're all in this together. That's the way I look at this. Like, I don't look at anybody's competition. There's nobody in this community besides one person. I won't mention their name that I don't like. And besides that, like, I'm cool with, like, and that's how I live my life anyways. But, like, I'm cool with everybody. Like, hey, man, like, it's like when we go to the expo, like I met you at the expo for the first time. We had a very short conversation at the expo. It's like, oh, hey, Casey, you know, I've seen you on Twitter. Like, hey, I'm Rich. You know what I mean? Like I say all the time at the expo, it's like, all this is our Dungeons and Dragons convention or our Pokemon convention. This is just all what we're into, right? Like these go on all the time. It could be yarn knitting, whatever. These conventions go on all the time, but this is our nerd fest. Like this is what we nerd out about. Right. So like, yep. And when we're there, it's like, what I go to the expo for is like, I go there for the community and the camaraderie. Like I get to see people I talk to online a lot, or people that do work that I totally respect. People that have been guests on their podcasts like yours. And like, I go there not to like promote Dynasty Nerds. I go out there to have a good time, have a couple drinks, give out some high fives, give out some hugs, and like see this community that I'm a part of, you know, because I'm a part of this community. Like I've established myself in this community to be a part of the fantasy football dynasty community. And I love this community and I love the game, like I said before. So we're all in this together. Like, and our goal is, and listen, I'm sure some people's goal is like, I just want to make money. I just want to make money. Like subscribe, buy this, buy that. And that's cool too. Like whatever you want to do, like, hey, ain't my jam. I don't care what you do. You know, like do what you want to do. Love who you want to love. Does not affect me. Like I just worry about what I'm doing. And if you're down with that, then I'm down with you. And if you're not, that's cool too. No hard feelings. Like this is a big world. Not everybody can be friends. So like, I just want to go out and like see this community grow and expand. I want to see my friends have success and do well. Like I tell Ray all the time, when I see him, like, I'm so proud of like how big you've grown in the space, and like how well you're doing. And when I see other people do well and I hear stories from other people in the community of what's going on, these new opportunities they get, like that excites me. It makes me happy that people get to do what they love. And that's all I want everybody. I want everybody in the world just to be happy. Like that's it. And like find that love and something you care about and like get that love back. And that's what this game is for me. So like I'm in it with everybody. It's all cool with me. Like I love everybody in here. I think everybody's got a different, you know, cup of tea. It's no different than like I root for the Browns. I don't hate you if you root for the Steelers or the Ravens. You know what I mean? Like I might bust your balls about it, but like, hey, we love football. You know, like we all have the same common interest.
Yeah. I'm glad that you were talking about the expo because it is so cool to see so many people get together about fantasy football. It's like, wow, the internet is for all the bad stuff with the internet. Like that's the good part of the internet is being able to meet people and have this bond with people that don't even live around here, you know, there's everywhere. And it's just cool to see that kind of connection.
And everybody being so like, cause you'll go there and you're like I said, there'll be like Mike Clay, you know, who's, or Matthew Berry's never been asked, but like someone on those lines, like people are really big in the industry, like Matt Harmon, who's a great dude who we're going to have the Dynasty Nerd show Friday, which I'm pretty pumped about. But like these people that have a really large platform, like JJ Zacharias and Matt Harmon, Mike Clay, and then you get to see like, hey man, these are just other dudes that love fantasy football too. And that's all it is. Like there's no ego there. There's nobody in there that's got like a bigger head than somebody else is. Like everybody's just cool because they all understand like, hey, this is my passion too. My path is different than yours and what I do, but like it all still has the same roots and foundation. It's my love of the game.
Yeah, definitely. And when you go to the expo, because there are people, I just had a guest on that had never been to the expo, but he wants to go this year. He's just a little, I don't know. He's probably going to end up going, but there are people out there that want to go to the expo, but they're not sure if it's just for like analysts or if it's just for, you know, this or that. And I know you explained that there are big names there that like are just as cool as like just the, you know, like me, like the nobodies, you know?
You're somebody.
I'm somebody to somebody. But yeah, what kind of tips and tricks or advice do you have for people that are going maybe for the first time this year?
Be social. Don't be like, oh, hey, that's so-and-so. Like, oh, I can't go. Go say hi. Yeah. Go say hi. Pick people's brains. Talk to people. Like, hey man, what's up? Like, get like, it's cool. Hey, I dig your work. You know what I mean? Like people like to hear that. People like same thing. People like to hear like, hey, you dig my, I appreciate that, man. Like I love when we go to me. Hey man, I want to let you know you're the first Dynasty podcast I listen to. I love your show. Like that makes me feel good. Cause I appreciate people listening. You know what I mean? Like I appreciate that. Like that reward to put it in that work. And like, remember people are there to have a good time. Like that's what the expo is. Like the expo is like, I hate to say it, but like the expo part of it, like for all of us, like the actual expo day is like, that's like the work day. The best part is the whole weekend. You got to go for the whole weekend because Friday, Saturday is my favorite day at the expo. The big party, like that's my favorite day. Walking around, talking to people, getting to spend time, like to see, like having a chance to say hi to you for 5 minutes and to say, hey, like, you know, I've seen your work. I appreciate it, you know, and every year, growing. Like I become much better friends with a guy like Rich Rebar, for example, right? Like I think he's one of the greatest analysts in the world. Like because of the Expo, I become friends with Rich Rebar. You know what I mean? Like, we become friends. Izzy Alkafas of Dynasty Trade Calculator, him and I have become really good friends. Like, we text each other all the time because of that. So, like, you never know what's going to come out of the Expo. Like, there's people that I literally look forward to at the Expo. And some aren't even analysts. Honestly, there's two guys that aren't analysts, but every year we make sure, like, there's a part of it, and we go get, like, trunk bears or whatever, like, Kudu Doodle from My Fantasy Life. I met her for the first time last year, and her and I and a couple other people, we end up, like, I don't know if you remember, on Saturday where it rained, like, no tomorrow?
Yeah.
We end up in the backs of a van drinking beers, and we had an unbelievable fun time. And I never met her before. You know what I mean? Like, I never met her, and, like, we became friends on that day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, going to the Expo is just about going. And even if you're not an analyst, because tons of people that go that aren't analysts, it's okay to go there and learn. And, like, not even learn, just have a good time, because it goes back to what I said. You're surrounded by people that love what you love. And that's always going to be a good time, because there's common interest, right? The hardest thing to have a conversation with somebody is when you guys are, like, two completely different people, you have no common interest whatsoever. Like in today's world, like, if you put a Republican and Democrat in a room together, they're going to be like, oh, they're going to bicker back and forth. Like, no matter what they say, they are not going to get along. But you're going to be in a room, not even a room, a large area with thousands of people that all love what you love. So there's nothing, there's no not fun to be had. There's nothing you could, I mean, of course, there's always something you can say, but there's nothing you're going to, like, be able to talk about that's not going to have you have a good time. And the good thing about that is, like, you turn right and there's somebody to talk to, then you turn left and there's somebody to talk about. And my biggest thing in the Expo is, like, I always feel like I didn't have enough time to talk to so-and-so, right? Like, oh, I was only talking to talk Shane Manila this year for 2 minutes. That's it, 2 minutes. Like, I always talked to Shane for, like, an hour. Like, what happened? Like, it's, as it grows, it's harder to spend more and more time with people. But, like, it's just, it's, you go there to have a good time on common interests. Like, go there to have fun. And you might come away and learn some stuff. And guess what? The Expo, you're going to get a lot of really cool merch, a lot of cool information. You're going to go sit down in front of some panels with some really smart people talking about some really cool stuff. So you will come away from the Expo itself smarter than you were when you left, with some really good information and some really cool swag. But you're also going to meet some really cool people that have the same interests that you do. And you never know where you might make a new true friend. Like, not like, hey, we're cool on Twitter, but, like, hey, wow, like, we're friends. Like, we text each other now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I hear those stories all the time. All and again, that fills my heart too, because I love to see that kind of connection over a common interest. It's really dope.
It is. It's super dope. I love meeting people and finding out, like, they're not even that far from me. I could go and hang out with them if I want to. Or, like, hey, I have never even heard your podcast, and it's, like, one of the most amazing things I've ever heard, or whatever, you know, like, after you listen to it. So just meeting those people and getting just, I don't know, it's just a great time. And I can't wait to go back in August. It's going to be a blast. And I always plug it on the show, but go check out the fantasyfootballexpo.com. And make sure you come to Canton, Ohio, and hang out with all of us, because we're looking forward to hanging out with you.
Heck yeah, we are.
I know that fantasy football is your hobby, the thing that you like doing the most. Like, but when you have free time to do other things, what are some of the activities and or things that you enjoy doing?
I love to snowboard. I love that. I love going to... I have less time now, but I still love going to live shows whenever I get an opportunity to. I just love music. I love art behind music. I love it so much. There's no art for me. There's no art in the world that makes me feel something or see something in music, and especially, like, live music. Like, it's a whole another level for me, but, like, I love music. I love snowboarding. I love watching my kids play sports. Like, I love to watch them find success there. Love hanging out with my friends. What else do I love to do? It's probably like a lot of it spent watching, like, so much of my time is consumed with football and family. Yeah. Like, it's kind of hard to do, but activity wise, like, I used to love to draw. I don't have time for that anymore. I used to love to read Stephen King books. Don't have time for that anymore. So snowboarding is probably my number one like winter hobby that I love to do. When I get an opportunity to do that. Besides that, I just really love like studying football. I really do.
Hey, you know what? That's awesome. That is awesome. And I'm glad you get to do what you love and get to just immerse yourself in Dynasty Fantasy Football. And just, it's great. So before we go, I do want to have you, well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for coming on here because Dynasty Nerds, like I was listening to Dynasty Nerds back in the day when I first started listening to podcasts and there were only a handful of podcasts out and I wasn't even playing Dynasty. I was just listening to you guys because like, I mean, not only does it help with redraft too, like you still get basic concepts and everything, but you guys are just so wonderful to listen to. So it was one of those podcasts that kept me entertained. So I just want to let you know, maybe I don't listen to it as much as I used to back in the day when I had time to do that. But like, you're one of the, when I think back to podcasts, like there's a handful that I listened to and you guys were one of them. So thank you.
No, thank you for listening. Everybody, I tell it all the time. Everybody that listens, thank you so much. Like it just, and I get it now because like now there's like 1,000 different podcasts to listen to, like 1,000. So like everyone that listens to ours, I'm like, oh wow, thanks for picking ours. Yeah. I mean, like there's so many to go to. Like when you're looking at Chartable, like the advanced Chartable, like, oh look at us, we're number one in Mongolia. Like that's cool.
Cool. I get all excited when I'm like 200th in France or something. But anyway, no, but before we go, I want you to go ahead and just let everybody know where they can find you, where they can find your work, and what all you have going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter at Dynasty Rich. I don't post on Twitter like nearly as much as I used to because like I save all my content for the podcast really these days, and like I mostly use Twitter to read and post. I'll put my rankings on there, but mostly just go to dynastynerds.com. I really encourage everybody to download the Dynasty Nerds app. It's free to download. But if you join Nerd Herd, it's really a great app. And what we made sure too with the Dynasty Nerds app that I mentioned before is like a manage for like trade calculators, right? Right. Like people are like, oh, that value's way off. The one thing that we did with Dynasty Nerds app as well is we put that app in your hands to control in the way you view fantasy football. So you could literally go in there and you just had the whole app operate off your own rankings. So, or you can just put in like Mike Clay's or Ray Garvin's or Matthew Berry's rankings in that order. And the whole app will operate off of those rankings. So when you put something in a trade calculator, you can't say, oh, this is a stupid trade, cause now it's based off of your rankings alone. So we made sure like we wanted to take that, like don't just take us for it. Cause you can also put like, hey, you can put Dynasty Nerds, my own personal rankings, and like Ray Garvin's or Matthew Berry's in there too, and kind of go back and forth between the two to see the differences. But like we made sure that app runs off of any way that you want to run it, right? Like, so the way that you view Dynasty or these fantasy players, it will run off that way. So if you put your own personal rankings in there or Fantasy Pros rankings in there, the trade calculator, the league analyzer, everything will work off of those rankings and that mindset. So we just try to build the tools to make you a better player. And we will continue to do that as long as we exist. Like we will consistently put in the resources that we have to build more stuff to make you not only make it easier to make it more fun, right? Like I said, we want to put some games into the app to make it more fun throughout the season, off season as well, to kind of keep, cause we understand like, Dynasty is 365. So how do we keep you engaged and moving forward 365 days a year? And we know like this time of year is the busiest time of the year because it's rookie talk. So we make sure we have the Dynasty Nerds film room to go on there and watch those, watch all the film on the rookies. We give you the nerd score. And of course, right now, all we do for podcasts for 2 months is we break down the rookies every single week. And we've had a lot of success doing it. You know, like just again, luck that we've been right way more than we're wrong, but like we also put a lot of work into it. So like that helps it as well. So yeah, just Dynasty Nerds podcast, anywhere you find a podcast, dynastynerds.com, the app store, Twitter, we're there. You look up Dynasty Nerds and you'll find us and we'll give you as much information as possible. Like I said, all our articles are free. We don't put anything behind a paywall. Our rankings are free on the website. It's just like anything. If you buy us a cup of coffee once a month, you're going to get it way more customizable, cool stuff to use.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Rich, for joining me. I'm going to go check the app out right after this. I'm also going to go make some trade offers after this because I've been taking notes as you've been talking. What do I need to do here? So thanks again. And everybody that's listening right now, again, I thank you so much for just sharing this journey with everybody. Like, we come on here telling our stories, and my guests come on here telling their stories, and they just appreciate the fact that you care and you want to listen. So thank you again for listening. Make sure that you come back next week for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, and remember to stay rad.
Get real. Time to get real, everybody.